الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يوفقني وإياكم لكل خير، وأن يجنبنا الشرور والفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. ثم إننا في هذا اللقاء إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى، الذي أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يبارك لي ولكم فيه، وأن يجعله في موازين أحمالنا حسنات أمثال الجبال، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. ثم إننا سنتحدث بإيجاز عن صفات من يدعو إلى الله عز وجل، أصحاب الدعوة، ما هي صفاتهم؟ نأخذ بعضا منها ونتحدث عنها إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى.
نعم. So we begin in the name of Allah, and all praise due to Allah, and the most perfect and complete salutations and peace be upon Muhammad and his family and his companions. Our noble brother Abu Hatim, may Allah preserve him, he began by greeting everyone with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And he said, I ask Allah to grant me success, to grant me and you success to every good, and that he turn us away from every evil and every trial and tribulation, whatever is apparent from it and whatever is hidden. So inshallah, in this meeting or in this gathering, the gathering of which I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless it, and also to record it and place it in our scales of Day of Judgment, and to make it worth mountains. So we will talk in this gathering or this circle of knowledge about the attributes of the caller to Allah, the attributes of the one who calls to Allah. So what are the attributes of the person who calls to the way of Allah? We will take some of them and we will speak about them.
الصفة الأولى من صفات الداعية، أو التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية إلى الله عز وجل، أن يكون عمله خالصا لوجه الله تبارك وتعالى. ولنعلم أن هذا، أي إخلاص النية لله، شرط من شرطي قبول العمل. ولنتحدث عن حديث ذكره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصحيحين عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه، أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: أول من تسعر بهم النار ثلاثة، أول من يدخلون النار والعياذ بالله وتصلاهم جهنم ثلاثة، ولا ثلاثة العدد، وإنما النوع، ثلاثة أنواع، وتدخل فيهم أعداد كبيرة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يباعدنا عن هؤلاء وعن النار. أول واحد من هؤلاء الثلاثة رجل قاتل في سبيل الله، ثم جاء يوم القيامة فسأله الله عز وجل: ماذا عملت؟ فيقول: يا رب، قاتلت فيك حتى قتلت. فيقول الله عز وجل: كذبت. وفي رواية: فتقول الملائكة: كذبت، إنما قاتلت ليقال فلان شجاع. لم يكن عمله خالصا لوجه الله تبارك وتعالى، إنما قاتل ليقال إنه شجاع. إذن فقد الإخلاص لله عز وجل في عمله، فهو من أهل جهنم والعياذ بالله. أول من تسعر بهم النار ثلاثة، هذا الأول. الثاني رجل آتاه الله مالا فيسأله الله عز وجل ويقرره بنعمه، فيعرف نعمة الله عليه أن أعطاه المال وأعطاه كذا وكذا، فيقول له الله عز وجل ماذا عملت، يعني فيما أعطيتك، فيقول يا رب لم أترك طريقا تحب أن ينفق فيه إلا أنفقت فيه، فيقول الله له عز وجل كذبت، إنما أنفقت ليقال فلان كريم.
ولا أكمل الثالث وما ترجم
طيب الحديث خير الله يبارك. يا رحمك الله. فيقال إنما أنفقت هذا المال ليقال فلان كريم، وفي رواية وقد قيل، يعني أخذت أجرك في الدنيا قيل. والثالث رجل آتاه الله القرآن فهو يقوم به أناء الليل وأطراف النهار، ولكن عمله ليس خالصا لوجه الله، إنما ليقال فلان قارئ. وهؤلاء الثلاثة انظروا إلى أعمالهم، من أفضل الأعمال والقربات إلى الله عز وجل، إلا أنها فقدت شرطا من قبول العمل، ألا وهو إخلاص هذا العمل لله تبارك وتعالى. وفي حديث آخر يقول فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تبارك وتعالى يقول لهؤلاء، يعني أهل الرياء، اذهبوا إلى من كنتم تراءون هل تجدون عندهم شيئا، يعني هل ينفعونكم، هل يعطونكم حسنات، هل يدخلونكم الجنة، هؤلاء الذين كنتم تراءون في الدنيا اذهبوا إليهم هل ينفعونكم. ثم نسأل الله عز وجل أن تكون أعمالنا خالصة لوجه الله الكريم، موافقة لسنة نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Now, so the first attribute, from the attributes of which the person or the caller to Allah should adorn himself with, is that his actions should be sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And let us know that this, which is the sincerity for Allah, is a condition from the two conditions for any action or any action of worship to be accepted. And we will talk about a hadith which was mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which was narrated in the Sahihain, Muslim and Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the first people who will be thrown in the hellfire, are three types of people. And our noble brother Abu Hatim al-Abazam, he said three types of people, three individual people, but types of people. And under the three types of people, many people come under this. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from those people. So the first type of those people is a person, alhamdulillah, the person who fought in the sake of Allah. He performed jihad in the sake of Allah. And then he comes in the day of judgment, and Allah Azza wa Jal will ask him, what did you do? And he would say, the man would reply, I have fought in your sake, O Allah, I have fought in your sake. And Allah Azza wa Jal would say to him, Kadabt, you have lied. And in another narration, the angels would say to him, you have lied. Indeed, you have fought, so that they say about you that such person is a brave person. To say about you that you are a brave man. And his action was not sincerely for Allah's sake. So he was doing it to be labeled as brave. So this person, he lacked sincerity. Such person, he lacked sincerity. So he is from the people of hellfire. And he is also from the first ones who will be thrown in the hellfire. The second type of the people who will be thrown in the hellfire is a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him wealth. He has given him wealth. And Allah Azza wa Jal will bring him, and he will ask him, and he will mention his favors to him. Yani from wealth and things which he bestowed upon him. And Allah Azza wa Jal will ask him, what have you done with that which I have granted you, which I have bestowed upon you? And the man will say, oh Allah, I did not leave any path of good except I have spent the money you have given me. I did not leave any path of good or any opportunity of spending this money in a good good cause, except I have spent my money in it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla would say to him, "Kadhabt, you have lied. You have lied. Indeed, you have spent your wealth." So they say about you, "Fulan, so and so is generous." And in another narration, "Waqad qeel," and it was said about you that you were generous. The third person is a man who Allah Azza wa Jal, he gave him knowledge. He gave him the Quran. And he's a person who performs night prayer. He stands up in the night using this Quran to worship Allah with in the night. But however, he was not doing it for Allah's sake. He was doing it, so they say about him, "Fulan is a qari." So he's a reciter, or he's a person who knows the Quran. So those three types of people, their actions are from the best of actions. Their actions which they have fulfilled are from the best of actions. However, they lacked sincerity. They lacked sincerity, which is a condition from the two conditions of any action to be accepted. In another narration, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, Allah will say to those," the people of arrogance and the people of pride, He will say to them, "Go to the people who you show enough to. Go to the people who you show enough to, and see if they can grant you anything, if they can give you anything." And afterwards, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He makes our actions sincere and in accordance to the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
ثم لا بد أن نعلم هؤلاء الأصناف الثلاثة يسحبون على وجوههم فيلقون في النار والعياذ بالله. لكن أهل السنة والجماعة يفرقون بين من يدخل النار إن كان من أهل لا إله إلا الله وإن كان ليس من أهل لا إله إلا الله. هناك فرق، من كان من أهل لا إله إلا الله مسلم فإن مآله إلى الجنة وإن عذب في النار. أما أهل الكفر الأكبر والشرك الأكبر والنفاق الاعتقادي والإلحاد المخرج من الملة فهؤلاء خالدون مخلدون في نار جهنم والعياذ بالله. إذا عذب من كان من أهل لا إله إلا الله فإنه يعذب بقدر ما جنى من الآثام في نار جهنم، ثم يكون مصيره إلى الجنة لأنه من أهل لا إله إلا الله. أهل السنة والجماعة لا يخلدون صاحب الكبائر، لا يكون صاحب الكبائر مخلدا عندهم في النار، وإنما يعذب بقدر ما جنى.
نعم. After that, Abu Hatim, Allah preserve him, he said, after that, it is a must that a person knows that these three types of people will be dragged upon their faces and will be thrown into the hellfire. And the people, Ahl Sunnah, the people of Sunnah, they distinguish between those who enter the hellfire, and he was from the people of La ilaha illallah, the people of Tawheed, and the person who is not from the people of Tawheed. They distinguish between the two when they enter hellfire. And there's a difference between them. So if he was from the people of La ilaha illallah, if he was from the people of Tawheed, then he eventually his fate will be into the paradise, even if he was punished. Eventually he will be removed from the hellfire and will be admitted to paradise. As for the people of shirk, major shirk, and major disbelief, and ilhad, which is atheism and things like that, then those people are eternal in the hellfire. They will not come out from the hellfire. So the people of Tawheed, the people of La ilaha illallah, even if they were punished, so they will be punished according to the sins which they have committed. And their fate after that, they will be eventually moved into the paradise, because he is from the people of La ilaha illallah. So Ahlul Sunnah, they do not hold the people from the Tawheed who commit major sins to be eternal in the hellfire. Rather, they are punished according to the sins which they commit.
ثم نذكر الشرط الثاني من شروط قبول العمل، ألا وهو متابعة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أن يكون العمل صوابا، لا يبتدع شيئا من تلقاء نفسه، وإنما يجب عليه أن يتبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بما جاء به. إذن الشرطان لقبول العمل إخلاصه لله تبارك وتعالى ومتابعة ما جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو ما يسمى بالصواب، أن يكون العمل صوابا.
Now, after that, we mention the second condition, which has to be met for the action to be accepted. The first condition, we have mentioned it. The second condition for the action to be accepted is that it has to be in agreement or in accordance to the way of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning that the action has to be correct. The action has to be correct. So the person should not innovate from his own self. Rather, he should follow the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the two conditions are sincerity for the sake of Allah, Azza wa Jal, only for Allah's sake, and mutaba'ah, which is, has to be in accordance to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second condition, this is what they call when they say يعني, the action has to be correct. When they say the action has to be correct, they're referring that it has to be in agreement with the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الصفة الثانية من صفات الداعية إلى الله والتي يجب أن أو ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية إلى الله عز وجل التزود من العلم النافع الذي يثمر العمل الصالح. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، يعني إذا أردت أن تعلم الناس لابد أن تكون ممن يملك العلم، لابد أن تملك علما حتى تعلمه الناس، يعني كما يقال في المثل فاقد الشيء لا يعطي. إذا كنت لا تملك علما فماذا ستعلم الناس؟ ستعلمهم الخطأ حتما. إذن يجب على من أراد أن يعلم الناس أن يبني نفسه أولا بالتعلم، يتعلم هو ثم بعد ذلك يسعى في تعليم غيره ليكون ممن يصلي عليه الله عز وجل والملائكة وأهل السماوات وأهل الأراضين، وحتى كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النملة في جحرها والحوت في البحر يصلون على معلم الناس الخير.
نعم. The second attribute from the attributes of the one who calls to Allah, the caller to Allah, is that he should يعني increase from seeking knowledge. He should embark upon seeking knowledge, which is the beneficial knowledge. The beneficial knowledge which gives out its fruits. And as Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. And seek provisions, يعني increase from gaining provision, and the best of provision is piety. So if the person wants to teach the people, if a particular person wants to teach the people, then it is a must that he has to be a person who possesses knowledge. And as they say in the يعني in the Arabic expression, the Arabic saying, the one who lacks something cannot give it. You cannot give something which you do not have. So if you do not have a particular يعني the knowledge, then what do you teach the people? If you do not have the knowledge, so what do you teach them? It is يعني inevitable that you will teach them something which is wrong if you do not have the knowledge. So upon you is to seek knowledge, to embark upon seeking knowledge, so that the person يعني learns himself first, and then he teaches others after that, until that he becomes from those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his peace and salutations upon him, and also the angels do the same, and everyone in the heavens and the earth, even the whales in the sea, and the as in the hadith mentioned, even the ant in its hole.
الصفة الثالثة التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية إلى الله عز وجل فهم العقيدة فهما صحيحا، يعني أن يكون وفقا لما جاء في كتاب الله وصحيح سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أن يعرض أعماله على الكتاب والسنة بفهم سلف الأمة السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم، يعرض نفسه عن الذي هو موجود في القرآن وفي صحيح السنة، ولينظر هل هو موافق لما جاء فيهما أو لا. هذا أول شيء. ثانيا ليتأمل تأملا في حديث الافتراق، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وستفترق أمتي إلى 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة، قيل من هي يا رسول الله؟ قال من كانت على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي، نسأل الله أن نكون منهم.
آمين.
إذن لابد أن يعرف يقينا أن هناك فرقا وفرق ابتدعت، بعضها خرجت حتى من دائرة الإسلام، وبعضها قريبة من الخروج، وبعضها في دائرة الإسلام، ولكن يحرص الإنسان حرصا تاما أن يكون ممن يتبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أن يكون من الفرقة الناجية الطائفة المنصورة التي ذكرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث. إذن يجب أن يعرض أعماله على الكتاب والسنة بفهم سلف الأمة ويختبر نفسه، لا يكابر، وليعلم أن هناك فرقا، فرق ضلال، منها ما هي بعيدة كل البعد عن أهل السنة والجماعة، ومنها ما هي قريبة، ولكن العاقل الذي لديه عقل أكرمه الله عز وجل بالعقل يحرص كل الحرص أن يكون من الفرقة الناجية الطائفة المنصورة التي كانت التي تكون على مثل ما كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحابته الكرام رضوان الله عليهم والسلف الصالح إلى أن يرث الله الأرض ومن عليها.
Yeah, so the third attribute from the attributes of the one who calls to the way of Allah is to have the understanding, the correct understanding of the aqidah, the creed. Meaning that it has to be in agreement to that which came in the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he should compare and he should compare his actions against the Quran and the sunnah and also the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. So, and he should look towards if his actions are in agreement to that which came from the Quran, the Sunnah, and understanding of the Salaf or not. This is firstly. Secondly, he should ponder over the hadith of iftiraq, the hadith of the division. That when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yani quoted from the hadith, and my ummah will divide into 73 sects, all of them in the hellfire except one. So they asked, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? He said, those who are upon what I am upon and my companions. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those. Secondly, the person must know with certainty that there are different groups and parties. Some of them, they have innovated into the religion. Some of them, they have left the circle of Islam, or they have left the fold of Islam. Some of them are close to leaving the fold of Islam. Some of them are still within the fold of Islam. So the person should strive to be from those who follow the correct way and the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be from the saved sect. To be from the safe sect and the victorious party. So therefore it is a must that the person, he compares his actions to the Quran and the Sunnah, and he should test himself, and he also should know that there are groups which some of them are far away from Islam and some of them are close from Islam. And the wise person or the intellectual person is a person who strives and gives great care to make sure that he is from the group who are upon that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, and his companions and the pious predecessors, the Salaf, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he inherits the earth.
الصفة الرابعة التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية مراقبة الله عز وجل في السر والعلن، والاستحياء من الله حق الحياء، يعني أن يراقب الله في كل أعماله، أن يطبق ركن الإحسان العظيم الذي قال فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث جبريل عليه السلام المشهور في صحيح مسلم عن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه، عندما سأله عن الإحسان قال: أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. هنا يأتي الاستحياء من الله تبارك وتعالى، أن يجدك حيث نهاك، يعني نهى أن تكون موجودا في هذا الموضع، وأن يفتقدك حيث أمرك. إذن الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. إذن مراقبة الله عز وجل في السر والعلن تعلم علم اليقين أن الله عز وجل يراك ويعلم تصرفاتك، وأن لديك كراما كاتبين، ملائكة، ملك على اليمين يكتب الحسنات، وملك عن اليسار يكتب السيئات، إن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون. وفي الآية الأخرى: ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. إذن عندما يكون الإنسان بمفرده ليستشعر وجود الله عز وجل ومراقبة الله عز وجل له، إذا ما خلوت الدهر يوما فلا تقل خلوت ولكن قل علي رقيب، الله عز وجل مطلع عليك. لذا يظن بعض الناس أنه إذا أغلق بابه عليه أو أغلق وأطفأ الأنوار لا يراه أحد. هنا تكمن مراقبة الله عز وجل والخوف منه. نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يرزقنا الخشية منه في السر والعلن.
Now, the fourth attribute of the caller to Allah is that the person acknowledges that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching over him in his secrecy and when he's amongst the people, and also to have shyness towards Allah as he deserves to be shy of, meaning that the person should always acknowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching over him and he's watching all of his actions. And also that the person, he implements the pillar of Ihsan, the great pillar of Ihsan, which is mentioned as in the hadith which is found in Sahih Muslim from the authority of Umar ibn Khattab, that when Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi salam and he asked him about Ihsan. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi salam, he replied, is that you worship Allah. Ihsan is that you worship Allah as if you see him. Though you do not see him, he surely sees you. And in here, shyness comes. In this regard, shyness lies from Allah. Is that shyness is from Allah, is that he finds you, Allah Azza wa Jal, he finds you in the place where he commanded you. He finds you doing something which he commanded you. And he finds you not doing something which he prohibited you from doing. And also to have certainty that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching over you. And that he knows all of your actions and all of your behavior. And that there are noble angels writing and recording your actions. As Allah, one on the right and one on the left, as Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Noble Quran, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ, and indeed upon you, or watching over you, حَافِظِينَ, those who record your actions, كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ, they are noble angels who write for you. And another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا يَلْفَظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, he does not utter any word or any statement except he has angels that write everything that he says or everything that he utters. So when the person is alone, he should acknowledge and understand that Allah Azza wa Jal, he can watch everything that he does, and he acknowledges the existence of Allah and that he can see what he's doing. And in the line of poetry, our noble brother mentioned, may Allah preserve him, one of the poets said, and when you're in seclusion, do not think that there's no one watching over you, or do not ever think one day that you're in seclusion, rather say, there's someone watching over me. So some of the people, they think when they close the door and they're in seclusion and they turn off the lights that no one can see them. And in this is a situation where the person should really acknowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal can see him when he's in his seclusion. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those who fear him and acknowledge that he's watching over us, amongst the people publicly and in seclusion.
الصفة الخامسة التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية إلى الله تبارك وتعالى: محاسبة النفس. محاسبة النفس أن يحاسب ويراجع أعماله. ورضي الله تعالى عن الفاروق عمر بن الخطاب حيث قال: حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وزنوها قبل أن توزنوا. يعني سيكون هناك عرض من الله تبارك وتعالى ومحاسبة في الدار الآخرة، فعلى كل عاقل أن يحاسب نفسه قبل ذلك الحساب العسير وليراجع نفسه. والله عز وجل فتح باب التوبة، جعل باب التوبة مفتوحة، وتحدثنا عن التوبة البارحة وأن الله عز وجل يفرح بتوبة عبده وأنه يحب التوابين. كل هذا لا بد أن يضعه الإنسان المسلم العاقل نصب عينيه، أن يحاسب نفسه قبل أن يحاسب يوم العرض على الله، ثم يستعد للقدوم على الله تبارك وتعالى يوم القيامة، يوم الحساب، يوم البعث، يوم النشور، اليوم الذي تدنو فيه الشمس من رؤوس الخلائق قدر ميل أو ميلين. الآن تبعد المسافات الكبيرة، وأما في ذلك اليوم فستكون قريبة جدا، وهناك أصناف من الناس سيكونون في ظل الله تبارك وتعالى يوم لا ظل إلا ظله، ومنهم السبعة كما في حديث أبي هريرة، وإن شاء الله سنأتي إليه. ثم هناك من يكون في ظل صدقته، وهناك من يكون في ظل سورتين من سور القرآن، الزهراوان، البقرة وآل عمران، فإنهما كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تأتيان وكأنهما غمامتان أو غيايتان، يعني كأنهما جناحان تظل صاحبهما الحافظ لهما. إذن يستعد الإنسان لذلك اليوم العسير، يعني ليس هينا ذلك اليوم، وإنما كرباته عظيمة، حتى إن الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام في ذلك اليوم يقولون اللهم سلم سلم، وهم أنبياء الله من اختارهم واصطفاهم، وهم على الحق دائما وأبدا.
نعم. The fifth attribute of the caller to Allah is that he should be a person who holds himself into account. He holds himself to account. That the person, he should look towards his actions, and he should examine his actions. And may Allah be pleased with Al-Faruq Umar bin Khattab. He said, hold yourself to account before you are held to account, and weigh your actions before they are weighed for you. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal will hold the people to account. So upon the person is to examine before the day reaches, he should examine his actions and hold himself to account and see how his actions are. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he opened the door of repentance, and he allowed it to remain open. And we have spoken about the repentance yesterday, and we have mentioned the hadith how Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is happy about the repentance of his slave, and that he, Allah Azza wa Jal, he loves those who repent. So the person should hold himself to account and examine his actions before Allah Azza wa Jal holds him to account. Then after that, the person should prepare himself for the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, the day in which the sun will come, and it will be in the distance of a mile or two from the heads of the slaves. And now the sun is very far away, but on that day it will be the distance of 1 mile or 2 miles. And that day, Allah Azza wa Jal will shade some people in that day. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in the shade of his throne, he will shade some people on that day. And as in the hadith which is mentioned, which is an authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, the seven people who are under the shade of Allah, or the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the day of judgment. And this hadith, inshallah, will come up. And also there will be from the people those who the charity they used to pay will provide shade for them. The charity they used to pay will provide shade for them. And also there will be people who two surahs from the Quran will provide shade for them. And it is as found in the hadith when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Surah Al-Baqarah and Al Imran. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, these two surahs will come as wings, as two wings, and it will shade the person. So the person should prepare himself for that difficult day. And that day and the trials and tribulations of that day is something easy or something to take lightly. Rather, it is very difficult and very severe. And even the prophets and the messengers on that day, they will be asking and supplicating to Allah Azza wa Jal, and would be saying, Allahumma sallim sallim, oh Allah, save us, oh Allah, make it easy. And they are those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them, and their actions are the best of actions.
الصفة السادسة التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية إلى الله وطالب العلم، الحرص الصادق على التأسي بالرسول الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم قدر الإمكان، كلما علم فعلا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو قولا أو تقريرا عمل بمثله حتى يكون على نهج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولكن ينبغي التنبه إلى شيء، يأتي الشيطان إلى المسلم ويجعله يزيد في ذلك، وهو ما يسمى بالتشدد والتنطع. جاء نفر إلى بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولما يكن هناك ما كان موجودا، فسألوا أزواجه عن فعله، يعني قالوا ماذا يفعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في يومه وليلته وكذا في بيته، فكأنهم تقالوا هذا الفعل، رأوه قليلا، قالوا هذا رسول الله قد غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر. فقال أحدهم أما أنا فأصلي ولا أرقد، يعني أقوم الليل ولا أنام. وقال الآخر وأنا لا أتزوج النساء. وقال الثالث أنا لا أكل اللحم، يعني رأوا أنهم يريدون أن يعملوا عملا أكثر من ذلك. فهذا يسمى تنطعا ويسمى تشددا في غير موضعه، لذا هو من الغلو. لذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث أما إني أخشاكم لله، يعني أتقاكم لله وأخشاكم له، وأنا أنام وأصلي، يعني أجمع بين هذا وذاك، وأتزوج النساء وأصوم وأفطر، فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. يعني كما ذكر ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى يأتي الشيطان إلى المتمسك بسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيجعله يغلو ويزيد عما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، ظنا منه أنه يريد الكمال وهو يتجاوز. إذن ينبغي علينا أن نحذر من صنيع الشيطان عندما يوسوس إلينا أن نأتي بشيء لم يأتي به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإنه من الابتداع، يكون صاحبه مبتدعا ويكون عمله مردودا عليه، كما في حديث عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد، أي مردود عليه.
Now, so the six attribute, our noble brother Abu Hatim al-Abzami, he mentioned that the six attribute of the caller to Allah is that the person should adhere to or should be serious in taking role or taking example of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam as much as possible. Whenever the person finds out a statement from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam or an action or an approval of him, then he should act according to that. Until that he's so that he becomes upon the same methodology as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, the person should pay attention to an affair here or an issue here, and this issue is that the shaitan would come to the person and whisper to him, and he would cause him to increase, so not only to follow the way of the Messenger but only to increase on that. And this is what they call a tanattu', يعني to be extreme or to overburden yourself with something which the Messenger didn't do. A group of people, three people came to the house of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked his wives about the action of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he do at home? And they were informed of the action of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is as if they belittled the actions of, or they saw the action of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as something little, and a person can do more than that. So one of them said, I will pray and I will not sleep. I will pray and I will not sleep. The second person said, I will not marry. I will not marry a woman. And the third person said, I will not eat meat. And this is what tanattu' is. Tanattu' is to be extreme and to overburden yourself with something which is not legislated. And also this extremism, or to be extreme and harsh in something, it's not in its correct place. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a narration, he said, أَمَا إِنِّي أَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ. Indeed, I am the one who is most fearful of Allah from amongst you. And I sleep and I pray. And I marry a woman and I fast and I break my fast. And whosoever turns away and whosoever rejects my sunnah, he is not from me. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he says that the shaitan comes to the person who is adhering to the sunnah as killing, and is clinging to the sunnah, and he will cause him to be extreme and to be excessive. And he will transgress over that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do while believing or while assuming that he is trying to achieve perfection. So we have to be aware of the action of the shaitan, and also be aware of bringing something which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come with. Otherwise, the person would be a person who innovated into the religion, and that action of his will be rejected, as in the hadith which is on the authority of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whosoever introduces into our affair that which is not from it will have it rejected."
الصفه السابعه استثمار الاوقات في كل ما ينفع في الدنيا والاخره رجاء ثواب الله عز وجل وخشيه عقابه. كل مسلم عاقل ومسلمة يستثمر وقته فيما يعود عليه بالنفع في الدنيا والآخرة. كما تعلمون أن دخول الجنة بفضل الله ورحمته، كما ورد في الحديث الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لا يدخل أحد الجنة بعمله. قالوا حتى أنت يا رسول الله؟ قال حتى أنا، إلا أن يتغمدني الله برحمته. دخول الجنة برحمة الله عز وجل وبفضله، نسأل الله عز وجل أن نكون بفضله ورحمته من أهل الجنة. ثم إن اقتسام منازل الجنة، الدرجات العاليات في الجنة، اقتسامها بالأعمال الصالحة. لذا كل عاقل من المسلمين والمسلمات ينبغي له أن يحرص أن يكون في أعلى الجنان، في الفردوس الأعلى. يعني كل واحد منا يحرص أن يأخذ الشيء الأفضل. فكل عاقل يستثمر وقته في الدنيا فإنه ينفعه هذا الاستثمار بما يعود عليه بالفائدة في دنياه وأخرى، لأنه يتقوى بما في دنياه على آخرته. يعني لا يترك الدنيا ويقول أنا فقط للآخرة، لأن هناك مصالح، يعني يسعى يكسب الرزق، يأتي إلى أهله يتحدث مع الزوجة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الكلمة الطيبة صدقة، الابتسامة في وجه أخيك صدقة. هذه كلها من التعامل مع الناس. ينبغي على كل عاقل أن يستثمر وقته فيما ينفعه في الدنيا والآخرة.
Brothers, if you can move forward, please, so to make space from the people outside. Barakallahu feekum. If you can squeeze up, so make space for the people who come. نعم. So the seventh attribute of the caller to Allah as our noble brother Abu Hatim, may Allah preserve him, he mentioned, is to use your times wisely. The person, he invests in his time wisely, in everything which benefits in this worldly life and in the Akhirah, hoping for Allah Azza wa Jal's favors and mercy, and also as a way of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. So the Muslim and the Muslimah, they should invest in their time in that which will bring about benefit for them in this worldly life, in the hereafter. And the entrance of paradise, or the person entering paradise, is only by way of the mercy of Allah and his virtue. As mentioned in the hadith by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said none should enter paradise according to their actions, or none should enter paradise due to their actions. And they said, the companion said, even you, O Messenger of Allah, he said, even me, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he bestows his mercy upon me. So the entering of paradise is by way of the mercy of Allah, na'am, and his virtue. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those who he bestows his mercy and favor upon, and make them from those who enter it. And after that, the different levels in paradise, the different levels in paradise is according to the action. So after the person enters paradise, due to the mercy of Allah, The different ranking in paradise is according to the actions of the person. And every wise and intellectual person always, يعني, he seeks that which is the best. Every person who's wise and intellectual would seek that which is best and would seek to gain the highest ranks of paradise. And all of us, we want the best. And every wise person should invest his time, or should invest in his time in that which will bring about benefit for him in this life and in the hereafter. And the person should not say that I will leave this life and I will not do anything in this life, only for the akhirah. Rather, the person should also fulfill the means in this dunya. He should do, he should seek his livelihood. And as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even the dealings with the people, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الكلمة الطيبة صدقة, the good word is a sadaqa, is a charity. And he also said, smiling or a smile is sadaqa. So the person should also, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that to make it from those who invest in their times.
أريد أن أذكر نفسي وإياكم بأمر ينفعنا في هذا المجلس, وهو حديث للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول فيه: إن لله تعالى ملكا أعطاه سمع العباد, فما من أحد يصلي علي صلاة إلا أبلغنيها, وإني سألت ربي ألا يصلي علي عبد صلاة إلا صلى عليه عشر أمثالها. فدائما عندما يذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى نصلي عليه لو سرا, فهذا من الأجور التي لا يعلمها إلا الله عز وجل. ثم دعاء الله لك وصلاته عليك, وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الآخر: من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرا صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا من باب التذكير فقط لي ولكم, بارك الله فيكم.
نعم. Our brother Bahatim, may Allah preserve him, he mentioned that I want to mention something and remind myself and you with an affair that might benefit us, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that indeed Allah has an angel which he has given him the hearing of mankind, and there is not one servant of Allah that sends his salutations upon me except that this angel transmits it, or he narrates it to me. And indeed I ask Rabbi, my Lord, that whosoever sends his salutations upon me or asks salutations upon me, then he ask my Lord that he send his salutations 10 times, or send his salutations 10 times on him as well. So when the name of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, we send we ask peace and salutation for him, even if it is secretly, if the person does it within himself. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, whosoever sends peace and salutation upon me, Allah azza wa jalla sends peace and salutation upon him 10 times, or multiplied 10 times.
إذن هذه هي من الغنائم الباردة التي يحصل فيها المسلم والمسلم على الأجور العظيمة, الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وفي حديث آخر وهو حديث صحيح أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات مرة رقى المنبر, فرقى الدرجة الأولى منه فقال آمين, ثم رقى الثانية فقال آمين, ثم رقى الثالثة فقال آمين, يعني ثلاث مرات يقول آمين. فسأله الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم: يا رسول الله, قلت آمين 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 ثلاث مرار, فما كان, يعني ما هو الذي كان في هذا التأمين؟ فذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واحدة من هذه الثلاث, أنه حرم الأجر من ذكرت عنده ولم يصلي عليه, يعني أنه من المحرومين, فلا نكن من المحرومين. وقد ورد في حديث حسنه الألباني رحمه الله: البخيل من ذكرت عنده ولم يصلي علي.
نعم. So our noble brother Abu Hatim Allah preserve him, he said, so this is from the easy beauties which the person or which the Muslim can gain reward through. And in a hadith which is authentic, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he climbed the first step of the minbar, and he said, or the pulpit, and he said Ameen, and then the second one, and then he said Ameen, and then he climbed the third one and he said Ameen. So the companions, they asked him what were we saying Ameen to? So, and he mentioned from the three things which he said Ameen to is that the person, a person is deprived, the person gets deprived of the reward, the one who my name is mentioned while he's there and he does not ask peace and salutation upon me. The one whose my name is mentioned and he does not ask the peace and salutation to be upon me, he is deprived of the reward. So we should not be, we should not be from those who are deprived of the reward. And in another hadith, which were declared sound by Imam Al-Bani, rahimahullah, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Bakhil, the one who is stingy, or the miserly one, is the one who I am mentioned in front of him, or while he's there, while he's present, and he does not ask for peace and salutation to be upon me.
الصفة الثامنة من الصفات التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية إلى الله تبارك وتعالى الحرص على نشر العلم وإعطائه أغلى الأوقات، يعني أن يكون حريصا على طلب العلم، ثم بعد ذلك يكون نشر هذا العلم الذي تعلمه، وأن يعطيه أغلى وأثمن أوقاته لما له من الأجر العظيم عند الله تبارك وتعالى. إذن ينبغي أن يطلب أولا العلم، ثم بعد ذلك ينشره، ولا يأتيه الشيطان فيقول له ذلك وقت لك ينبغي أن تستثمره لنفسك. فإن الذي يتعلم ولا يعلم الناس يعني هذا خطره عظيم، لأنه أخذ علما استنار بالعلم ولكنه لم يطبق ما تعلمه، فيكون على خطر عظيم، وخاصة إذا احتاج الناس إليه أو سألوه وهو يعلم. فقد ورد في الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كتم علما ألجم بلجام يوم القيامة من نار. يعني هذا العلم الذي فيه علم الشريعة الذي يستفيد منه الناس في دنياهم وأخراهم، يكتمه يلجم بلجام من النار والعياذ بالله.
نعم. So the eighth attribute of the caller to Allah is that he should be a person who gives great care to spreading knowledge, and also giving the knowledge his most valuable time. And also he should be a person, meaning that the person should be a person who gives great care to seeking knowledge first, and then after that spreading it amongst the people and teaching them. And also that he gives the knowledge or the seeking of knowledge and teaching it his most valuable time. And this is only due to the great reward which is gained from this. So therefore it is must or it is befitting upon the student of upon the person that he seeks knowledge first, and then he spreads it amongst the people. And he should not allow the shaitan to come to him and tell him that this is your most valuable time, invest in it in another way. Because when the person he studies and he learns and he seeks knowledge and then he does not teach the people after that, the danger of this is great. The danger of this is great, because he would be a person who did not implement that which he had learned. And especially if the people were in need of him. Especially if the people were in need of him and they have asked him and he knows, but he did not reply or did not or he withheld the knowledge that he had. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in narration, whosoever withholds knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fasten him with a rope from hellfire. Meaning that the beneficial knowledge which the people are in need of, if the person he knows then he does not teach it to the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fasten him with a rope from hellfire or from the fire, made of fire.
إذن إذن كل من أتقن مسألة من مسائل الدين، ولنتفكر في كلمة أتقن، مسألة من مسائل الدين عليه أن ينشرها، عليه أن يعلمها غيره حتى يحرص على الأجر الوفير والخير العظيم الذي سيكسبه من وراء ذلك. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: بلغوا عني ولو آية واحدة. فإذا أتقنت مسألة من مسائل الفقه الإسلامي عليك أن تبلغها للناس، ولكن احذر أن تقول على الله شيئا ليس من قوله ولا على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن كذبا علي ليس ككذب على أحد، من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. ولذا جاء في الآية: قل تعالوا أتل ما حرم ربكم عليكم. الآية قال في آخرها: وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. اعلم أنك تبلغ عن الله عز وجل وعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلتحرص كل الحرص أن تنقل ما تعلمته وأتقنته، وليكن دائما معك قولك الله أعلم إذا كنت لا تعلم، لا تستحي من ذلك. والله ليس عيبا أن تقول الله أعلم. يقول ابن وهب: لو أحصينا قول ابن مالك لا أعلم لاحتجنا إلى مجلد. يعني هو الإمام مالك رحمه الله يقول: لو أحصينا وكتبنا له كلمة لا أعلم، كل مثلا يسأل عن شيء يقول لا أعلم، يقول لا ألفنا مجلد كله لا أعلم لا أعلم. لماذا؟ لأنهم يعلمون أنهم يبلغون عن الله وعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Yeah, so our noble brother Abu Hatim al-Abazami said, after that he said, so whosoever becomes proficient in any of the matters of the religion, then he should, and we pay attention, we pay great attention to the word, he becomes proficient, he has proficiency in it. When he becomes proficient in any of the matters of the religion, he has to spread it, so that he achieves this great reward, which will come about by way of spreading this knowledge. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in narration, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Narrate for me even if it is one verse. Narrate for me even if it is one verse. So when you become proficient in a matter of the religion, matter of the jurisprudence, then the person should narrate it, should teach it. However, the person should be aware of speaking about Allah Azza wa Jal, or saying something about Allah Azza wa Jal which he did not say, or saying something about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or narrating something from him which he did not say. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, he said, a lie about one of you is not a lie, is not the same as when you lie about me. Whosoever lies about me intentionally, then let him choose his place in the hellfire. And also in the verse, Allah Azza wa Jal said, in the beginning of the verse, say, come to me so I recite to you that which my Lord had prohibited. And at the end of the verse he says, Allah Azza wa Jal, and that you say or you speak of Allah with that which you have no knowledge of. So the person should know that he is narrating about Allah Azza wa Jal. He is talking about Allah and he's talking about his messenger. So he should be, he should have great care when teaching or when narrating, that he is proficient and he knows what he's saying. And he should always be accompanied with the statement of Allah A'lam. Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. And he should not be shy from saying, Allah knows best. Or I do not know. Ibn Wahab, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, if we were to count or if we were to record how many times Malik said, La A'lam, I do not know, we would maybe put it in one volume, a whole volume, of how many times Malik answered with La A'lam. And this is Imam Malik, rahimahullah. This is because they used to acknowledge and used to know that they are talking about Allah Azza wa Jal and they talk about His Messenger. Therefore, when they do not know, they say, I do not know.
الصفة التاسعة التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية إلى الله تبارك وتعالى محاولة كثرة الاطلاع والقراءة في الكتب المفيدة سواء القديمة أو الحديثة، ما ألفه القدماء أو ألفه أهل العصر الحديث العلماء المعاصرون، أن يستفيد من هذه الكتب ويقرأ. فكل طالب علم يريد العلم يجب عليه أن يكثر من القراءة في الكتب المفيدة حتى يحصل علما ومعرفة، لا يأتي بعلم من عنده وإنما يأخذه ممن سبقه. وليجعل نصب عينيه وفي المقدمة كتاب الله عز وجل، يقرأ كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى الفرقان، ثم يكون بجانب هذا الكتاب الفرقان كتب التفسير المعتبرة، المفسرون الذين هم على منهج السلف الصالح، ليس عندهم من الاعتزال شيء وليس عندهم من الأشعرية شيء، ككتاب كتفسير ابن كثير رحمه الله، وله مختصرات، مختصر محمد نسيب الرفاعي ومختصر أحمد محمد شاكر، هناك مختصرات لهذا الكتاب، لأنه المبتدئ عندما يقرأ، خاصة هناك كتب التفسير مثلا كتاب تفسير ابن كثير ليس محققا في بعض الطبعات، فيه أحاديث ضعيفة، ولكن عندما تقرأ في كتاب ومختصر محمد نسيب الرفاعي تجد التصحيح والتضعيف، يعني أن هذا الحديث صحيح وهذا الحديث ضعيف وهكذا، وهذا يفيد طالب العلم المبتدئ، هو اختصره لم يأتي بشيء من عنده وإنما اختصره، يعني عندما تكون في القصة مثلا أو في الآية مجموعة أحاديث يأخذ بعضها فقط، يأخذ بعضها ويقتصر أكثر أوقاته على ماذا؟ على الصحيح من الأحاديث، وكذلك مختصر ابن كثير لأحمد محمد شاكر. ثم كتب الحديث وشروح الحديث وما أكثرها، يأخذ فتح الباري ويأخذ شرح النووي لصحيح مسلم والسنن وشروحها، ثم ينتقل إلى السيرة، السير، وليحرص على مختصر السيرة للشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى، يعرف ماذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه في أحواله، وكيف كانت دعوته، وكيف كان جهاده، وكيف كانت سيرته عليه الصلاة والسلام، وكيف كانت غزواته. إذن هذه الكتب تكون في المقدمة، وعليه أن يقرأ ويطلع ويعرف في أحواله التي هي في الوقت الراهن، يعرف ما عليه الناس، يقرأ في الجرائد، يقرأ كي يرد على فلان إذا وجد خطأ، يقرأ ليستفيد، يعرف واقعه. فهذا لا يمنع، ليس من الضرورة فقط أن يبقى ويقرأ في ما كتبه القدماء فقط، وإنما يأخذ الفائدة من كل ما وجد.
نعم، the ninth attribute of the caller to Allah and a student of knowledge is that the person, he should attempt and try to read a lot and read the beneficial books from the scholars, the books which were written by the scholars from the yani the previous scholars and the scholars who are yani recent or the latter scholars. So the student of knowledge, every student of knowledge, it's upon him that he yani increases from reading beneficial books, and because he should not come with the knowledge from himself, rather he should take it from those who preceded him or the scholars who preceded him, and let him begin with the book of Allah, Al-Furqan, the book of Allah, which gives the person the ability to distinguish the book of Allah, Al-Furqan. And beside the Quran, you have the tafsir, the interpretation of the Quran, the books which interpret the Quran. And the books of interpretation which were written, the books of tafsir, which were written by the ulama, the people of Ahlul Sunnah, who are upon the correct way, and they do not have any deficiency in their belief, like any i'tizal, any ash'ariya, some deficiency in their creed. So from the scholars who are upon the correct way. And for example, from them is Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. Ibn Kathir and his tafsir. So you read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and it has been summarized. The tafsir of Ibn Kathir has been summarized by a number of people, such as Muhammad Nasib al-Rafa'i and Ahmed Muhammad Shakir. They have summarized the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. This is because the student of knowledge, or the person who's a beginner, when he reads a book which is the Tafsir ibn Kathir, and he reads the version which is unchecked, he might find some narrations, but he would not know that they are weak narrations. So those people, they actually check the narrations, which one is authentic, which one is not, and they summarize it. And the summarizing of these books does not mean that they take anything away, but rather when there's in one matter they mention many narrations, they will take a few of them, or maybe take only the authentic ones of them. So Muhammad Nasib al-Rafa'i, his mukhtasar, his summarized version is checked, and also Ahmad Muhammad Shakir. After that, after the Quran and the istafsir, is the book of hadith, the books of hadith and the explanations of them, or the books which explain them, such as Fath al-Bari, which is an explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, and Sharh al-Nawawi, he explains Sahih Muslim, and the Sunan, the remaining books of narrations, the Sunan and the explanations. After that, the person should move on to Siyar, to biographies. After that, the person should move on to Siyar, which is the biographies, and he should also pay great care and attention to the summarized biography of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, may Allah have mercy on him. And he also should understand, he would read this book so he understands the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he was upon, his school, his jihad, his biography, his battles, and so on. So these are the books which the person should always should begin with. They are in the first and foremost ones. And also the person should increase in reading other things as well. And he should be aware of what is going on around him. So he should read things such as the newspaper to know what is going on in the world around him. And he would read articles so that he would find the mistakes in them and maybe refute the statement. And refute the statement which was written by any individual. So there's no prohibition in this. There's no prohibition in reading anything which is beneficial. So there's no prohibition in reading anything as long as he reads something which is beneficial.
هناك ملاحظتان على قولي أريد أن أضيف وأن أستدرك. الإضافة، أنا ذكرت تفسير ابن كثير على سبيل المثال، وهناك تفاسير أخرى كتفسير ابن القيم رحمه الله، له كتاب فيه في التفسير، والسعدي رحمهم الله جميعا. هذا فقط على سبيل المثال، ليس اقتصارا على تفسير ابن كثير فقط، وإنما تفاسير موجودة ولكن بحسب معرفة القارئ لها. بعضهم يعرف أشعرية فلان وقوله في الأسماء والصفات، في بعض الصفات في التأويل المذموم يقرأ، لكن ليس كل واحد يستطيع أن يقرأ ويستنتج. ثم الاستدراك، قلت لكم أن يقرأ كل كتاب فيه فائدة، وهذا ليس على الإطلاق، لأن كتب أهل البدع فيها فوائد، لا يكتبون كل شيء باطل، إنما يدسون السم في العسل، يكون مغلفا بشيء من الحق وفي داخله باطل، وإنما يرجع في هذا إلى العلماء الربانيين، هم الذين يقولون لك تقرأ كتب كذا وكتب كذا، لأن الإنسان ضعيف، وشبه أهل الباطل أحيانا تكون غاية في القوة، والقلوب بين أصبعين من أصابع الله يقلبها كيف يشاء. لذا كان من دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار، ثبت قلبي على دينك. لذا قد تنطلي على الإنسان شبهة، والإنسان ضعيف، فينتقل من السنة إلى البدعة. إذن هذا استدراكي، ليس كل كتاب يقرأ فيه فائدة، وإنما يقرأ الكتاب الذي صاحبه من أهل السنة والجماعة. ثم بعد ذلك، إذا كان الإنسان عالما من أهل العلم ومن طلاب العلم الأقوياء، يقرأ أي كتاب من أجل أن يرد على صاحب هذه الشبهة نصرة لدين الله عز وجل، ينصر دين الله. ليس عيبا أن يخطئ الإنسان في حديثه ويتراجع. أنا استدركت على نفسي لأني علمت أني أخطأت، وعندما تسمع شيئا يمكنك أن تناقش، تقول له: كذا وكذا، الصواب كذا وكذا. والمؤمن إذا قيل له الحق اتبعه دائما. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا ممن يتبع الحق دائما وأبدا، وأن يجنبنا الزلل، وأن يجعلنا ممن يتراجع عن الخطأ ويسأل الله العفو والمغفرة والمتوبة.
الله أطلت
عليه. Naam, so our noble brother Abu Hatim al-Afazam, he said, I want to add something and want to correct something which I have mentioned. I have mentioned that as an example, Tafsir ibn Kathir, that the passage to read Tafsir ibn Kathir. This does not mean you can only read Tafsir ibn Kathir and there are not any other books, but rather it was only an example. There are other Tafsir, such as Tafsir of Ibn al-Qayyim and Imam Sa'di rahimahullah. And I only mentioned Ibn Kathir as an example, not to restrict the people only to Ibn Kathir, but as an example. These books are according to the person who read them, according to his ability, according to the person who reads. Some of the people are strong and they know the creeds of the people, the different aqaid of the people, and they know this person, he has any deficiency in the aqidah and so on. But not everyone is like that. Some people do not know. So the person should know, it's according to the person which that reads the book. And also, the correction I want to make also is that I said the person should read everything which is has benefit in it, or everything which is beneficial. This is not in the absolute sense, unrestrictedly. Rather, the books of Ahlul Bid'ah have some benefits. The people of innovation in their books, they have some benefits. But they, as they say, they hide the poison behind the honey. So they have some benefits, but this is up to the scholars. The scholars who are well established in knowledge, they will tell the person you can read this book and you cannot read this book. So they will be able to distinguish between the books for the people. And sometimes because the person is weak, and some of the times some of the misconceptions and the doubts of the people of desire can be very strong, and a person may be deviated because of that. And the hearts are between the two fingers of Ar-Rahman, and he turns them however he wishes. And therefore, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to supplicate and used to say, "O turn of heart of the hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion." So the person is weak, and perhaps he may transform from the Sunnah and move on to be upon bid'ah. So this is a correction. I went back on what I have said. So the person should not read everything in the absolute sense. However, if he was a person who is strong in knowledge, he has strong knowledge, then this person, he can read so that he can refute any mistakes which are found in any books as a defense of Allah's religion, as a way of defense or defending Allah's religion. And it is not a shame, it is not aib that the person goes back on what he said. It is not aib that the person goes back on what he said and he corrects himself. And the believer, when he is told the truth, he goes back to it. And also, it is okay that the person, when he hears something, he asks the person, "What did you mean? Or is this the? Maybe you have made a mistake," and so on. It is okay as well. So the believer, he goes back to the truth when it is clarified for him. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those who follow the truth and to repent and go back when they commit a mistake, and they ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala for the forgiveness of those mistakes.
الصفة العاشرة من الصفات التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية إلى الله اختيار الأسلوب الحسن في الموعظة والجدل أو المجادلة والمناظرة والتعليم الذي ينبغي أن تراعى فيه مستويات الناس الذين يعلمهم. الجدل والجدال إذا أطلق يراد به نوعان. النوع الأول جدال حسن ممدوح فاعله، وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن، هذا قول الله عز وجل لرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أي بين لهم وناظرهم بالكتاب. وهناك نوع آخر جدال مذموم صاحبه على خطر، وهو المجادلة من أجل المغالبة، من أجل أن ينتصر لا من أجل أن يظهر الحق وينتصر للدين، وإنما يكون من حظوظ النفس فقط. لذا ورد في الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث أبي أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: أنا زعيم ببيت في ربض الجنة لمن ترك المراء ولو كان محقا، وببيت في وسط الجنة لمن ترك الكذب ولو كان مازحا، وببيت في أعلى الجنة لمن حسن خلقه. هذا حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نأخذ الجزئية الأولى التي هي الشاهد معنا في الحديث: زعيم ببيت في ربض الجنة لمن ترك المراء، الذي هو الجدال، حتى وإن كان على حق. ومعنى ذلك لا يؤخذ من الظاهر فقط المعنى، وإنما إذا بين لخصمه الذي يتحدث معه الحق ولكن خصمه أبى واستكبر عن الحق، وبين له وناصحه ولكن ذلك الرجل يرفض الحق، يترك مجادلته ومراءه. يعني بعد أن يبين له الحق، ولا يعني ذلك أنه يأتي يريد أن يفهم منك فتتركه، لا والله، ليس هذا هو مراد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إنما المراد أن تبين له الحق وتجلي له الصورة، توضح له الأمر، ثم بعد ذلك إن عاند واستكبر وأبى وأراد المغالبة وكذا تتركه. عرفنا ما هو الشاهد في هذا الحديث: من ترك المراء ولو كان محقا، ولو كان على حق، أنت بين له الحق، بين له الحق، ثم أنه بعد ذلك إن أراد الحق فليأخذه، ولكن إن أراد المغالبة وأراد فقط الانتصار عليك وأنت تريد، لأنه سيكثر الكلام وستأتي حظوظ النفس وسيدخل الشيطان فتنقلب الأمور إلى المغالبة، إلى أن ينتصر الإنسان ويظهر قوته في الحجة، فلا تكون من أجل الله ولله عز وجل. كأنه خرجنا أنا. أضيف شيء واحد، إضافة شيء واحد. ثم من الحكمة في الدعوة أن يخاطب الناس بما يفهمون وما يعقلون. يعني ليس العالم وطالب العلم والجاهل العام في مستوى واحد، يعني تخاطب الناس على قدر ما يفهمون، يعني عقولهم توصلهم إلى مستوى معين تخاطبهم به، تخاطبهم به، وهذا من الحكمة. الله عز وجل يقول: يؤتي الحكمة من يشاء، ومن يؤت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا. لذا دائما وأبدا يسأل الإنسان الله عز وجل أن يعطيه الحكمة ويؤتيه الحكمة في الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل، لأن الإنسان الداعية يفتقر إلى الحكمة، فليسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يهبها له دائما وأبدا. فمن أوتي الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا. وفي قول ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه: خاطب الناس بما يفهمون، أتريدون أن يكذب الله ورسوله؟ يعني لا تأتيهم بأشياء لا يستوعبونها فتقول لهم هذا من الدين فيقولون هذا كذب. يكذب الله ورسوله بسبب هذا الأسلوب الذي أتيت به لم يفهمه الذي تخاطبه. والله سامع.
لا برا. رفض الجنة يعني قطعة في الجنة.
نعم، في حواف فيها.
في حواف فيها. نعم. والآخر كان إيش؟ وبيت في أعلى الجنة.
في وسط الجنة.
الثاني هذا والأخير.
لمن حسن خلقه أعلى الجنة.
لمن حسن خلقه. طيب. والثاني من ترك الكذب ولو مازح.
ولو كان مازح.
نعم. The tenth attribute of the caller to Allah and the student of knowledge, the attribute of which the person should adorn himself with, is to choose the good etiquette and a good manners and a good way when giving reminders, and also disputing and debating, and also when teaching the people. And also the person should يعني pay attention to the different levels of the people and the different ranks and the different يعني levels of understanding. When the word here disputing, جدل and جدال, when it is mentioned يعني like this in a general sense, the intent behind it is two types. One which is praiseworthy and the other one which is blameworthy. The first one which is praiseworthy, and the person who does it is praiseworthy, is like when Allah Azza wa Jal, he says to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِهِ أَحْسَنَ, and dispute with them with that which is good. So this is the statement of Allah to his messenger. The second type is the blameworthy one, which is and the person who carries this one out is a person who is upon mistake. And the person who does this is a person, يعني, he disputes with the people with the aim of overcoming them and defeating them in debates and so on. And also to gain victory for himself and not gain victory for the religion. Therefore, it has been mentioned in the hadith, which was on the authority of Abu Umamah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I will guarantee a house in the outskirts of the Jannah, of the Paradise, for the person who leaves off argumentation or dispute, even if he was in the right, even if he was right, and a house, and I will guarantee a house in the middle of Paradise." For the person who abandons jesting and joking, even lying, even if he was joking, guarantee a house in the middle of paradise for the person who abandons lying, even if he was joking, and a house in the highest of paradise for the person who has good etiquettes. So we take the first part of the hadith, which is in relation to what we're talking about, and the person should leave off argumentation and dispute with the people, even if he's in the right. The meaning of this, or should not be taken in the apparent way, should not be taken apparently. Rather, the meaning of this is that when the person, he clarifies the truth to the person, and he makes him understand, and he makes the truth clear to him, then the other person, he's stubborn, and he just wants to argue and prolong the argument, and just to talk, then the person should leave him. This is the meaning of the hadith. And it does not mean that the person comes to you and he asks you about something and you leave him. You do not even clarify anything to him. This is not the meaning of the hadith. Rather, the actual meaning and the correct meaning of the hadith is that you clarify the truth for him. And if he does not accept it, that's when you leave him. Now, so you clarify the truth for him. If he wants, if he wishes, he can take it. If he does not want it, and he only wants to argue and conflict and so on, then the person should be left. And if the person does not do this, if you see from the person that he's stubborn and he just wants to argue and so on, and you follow him in that which he wants, then it becomes the sincerity changes, or the sincerity is removed, and it becomes something which is the person is doing it for his own self, and just to regain victory for his own self and not for the religion. And also, and the shaitan will have a share of it. The shaitan will have a share of this action. After that, our noble brother Abu Hatim al-Afzam, he said, I want to add also that the person has to have wisdom in calling to Allah. The person has to have wisdom while calling to Allah by way of addressing the people in a way that they understand. Addressing the people according to their understanding. So the scholar and the student of knowledge and the person for the army, from the general folk, are not on the same scale, are not on that same level. So the person should address them and should speak to them, each according to the way he understands, and according to that which he can take and comprehend, or his intellect can comprehend. This is also from wisdom. Allah Azza wa Jal said, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءَ, he grants wisdom to whomsoever he wishes. وَمَنْ يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, and whosoever is granted wisdom, then he is granted a lot of good. Whosoever has been given wisdom, then he has been given a lot of good. So therefore, the person should ask Allah always that he gives him wisdom, especially in the field of da'wah. He should ask Allah to give him wisdom. And Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, address the people with that which they understand. Do you want that Allah and his messenger to be disbelieved in? Meaning that tell the people something which they can comprehend and something which they can understand, so that they do not reject and disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal.
أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يريني وإياكم الحق حقا وأن يرزقنا اتباعه وأن يرينا الباطل باطلا ويرزقنا اجتنابه وأن يغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. أخبرهم أيضا غدا 8:30.
طيب. Now, I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to show us the truth as the truth, and He grant us to follow it, and He show us the falsehood as being falsehood, and to grant us to avoid it, and that He forgives us and our parents and the male Muslims and the female Muslims, the believing the male believers and the female believers, those who are alive from them and those who have passed away. Wassallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam. Tomorrow, inshallah, the lesson will be from 8:30. Yes, the lesson time will be changed from 8 o'clock to 8:30, bi idhnillah.
Ameen.